Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. The Messenger, Part 11. Let me read this little stanza from a poem written by A.B. Simpson. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he founded the Missionary Alliance, what today is a denomination, but he found the Missionary Alliance Church. He was a Presbyterian, but he loved preaching, and he was very, very missionary-oriented, very missionary-oriented. And he wrote a lot on the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit in mission work. And he says, "Jesus, breathe thy spirit on me. Teach me how to breathe thee in. Help me pour into thy bosom all my life of self and sin. I am breathing out my own life that I may be filled with thine. Letting go my strength and weakness, breathing in thy life divine." And he just had a yearning that the Holy Spirit go and lead and use men and women for the mission field to go out and proclaim the gospel. So in our understanding of the teaching here on the Holy Spirit, we've looked at the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, and we looked at different symbols and emblems in the Scripture, that the dove is an emblem used in the Scriptures. Wind is used as an emblem of the Holy Spirit. Fire is used as an emblem in the Scriptures for the Holy Spirit. You have a lantern, you have oil. Oil was used as an emblem. Oil causes the light to burn, or the flame to burn, the fire, and the light is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so You have all these various emblems and how important the Holy Spirit is in the Scriptures, and that the use of the term Holy Ghost, and pneuma was the Greek word for the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost, and it's the breath of God. And we've talked about the maligning of the whole doctrine of the Holy Spirit by the charismatic group and the perversion that has brought about the lack of teaching of the Holy Spirit because of the charismatic groups has perverted the doctrine that then other denominations have refused to even teach about the Holy Spirit, thinking that, well, we'd sound like a Pentecostal. And but the Holy Spirit is important. We talked about being baptized with the Holy Spirit versus being filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can be filled over and over and over again with the Holy Spirit, but you're baptized one time. We talked about Pentecost, and that was when the Holy Spirit was first brought to the church, that God sent the Holy Spirit to the church at the day of Pentecost, and that He is the comforter, He is the power for the church. Since Jesus started the church was built upon Him, but that the Holy Spirit, the comforter, would teach us God's word, it would live within us. Our body is a temple. The Old Testament, you had the Shekinah glory that was in the tabernacle, in the holy place, that rested upon the cherubims, and in the temple, that Solomon's temple, it was on the holy place, resting upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and you had the Shekinah glory, which was figurative of the Holy Spirit, and today we have the Holy Spirit. You are a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. We talked about Jesus having a measure, an unlimited measure. He had there was no holding back of the Holy Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the full measure of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can be quenched. It can be, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and we can be reduced in the measure. You have the 10 virgins, and you have five of them were wise, and they had oil in their lamp. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But five were foolish. They let their oil diminish. So that shows you there's a measure of the Holy Spirit within every soul, every individual who's a believer in Christ. And so we have to make sure in our own lives to make sure that oil is filled, that the light is burning. How many have ever been on a highway, on a roadway, when the car started to buck and you knew you forgot to put gas in the car and you're driving on fumes? Come on, I'll put my hand up. I'll admit that. It's happened to me. So those kind of things are important. We looked at in our notes here, Roman numeral 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, the importance of the day of Pentecost, the power that the apostles had, tremendous apostle, tremendous power that Peter had, the boldness that Peter had on the day of Pentecost. They were praying in the upper room. They were in seclusion. They were hiding. They were waiting for God to send this power. And man, when the Holy Spirit descended and the cloven tongues of fire that descended upon them on the day of Pentecost, the room rocked, and they came alive. The excitement of the apostles, and that's the whole book of Acts, is the power of the Holy Spirit working in the disciples and the propagation of the gospel from sea to shining sea. That's the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles and what can be accomplished. It's amazing what can be accomplished when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And how do you buy oil? We talked about that buying of the oil, buying of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells those foolish disciples, go out and buy oil for your lamp. It's get on your knees and cry to God. That's buying the oil. That's buying the eye salve that the Lord tells the Laodicean church to buy, the eye salve, so you can be illuminated in the Word of God and see the Word of God more clearly. And so the Holy Spirit is important in our lives and understanding that. And we said, again, there's a distinction between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We talked in Roman numeral 3 in your notes, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the body, how important your body is and how important it is to maintain and take care of that body because you are a temple. And now you are not your own. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. You got to consider your body is a temple and not to defile it. We're warned not to defile the temple and take care of it. So it says in bullet point number 1 under Roman numeral 3 in your notes, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the body. We talked about the Shekinah glory and it filling the temple. Now, Ezekiel, turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. Ezekiel is, here you have in Exodus, the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory. We talked about the definition of the Shekinah glory last time, means dwelling or to reside from the Hebrew word. It's a transliterated word. But in Ezekiel, and I said Ezekiel 9, this is the sad part. Ezekiel, look at verse 1 of chapter 1 first. Just to give you an idea of who Ezekiel is, for some of you who do not know who Ezekiel is. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Okay? Ezekiel was in captivity, just like Daniel. He was taken into captivity during the Babylonian siege that took place in Jerusalem. He was part of the Jewish remnant or the Jews that were survivors and that were taken out of the land by Nebuchadnezzar and brought to Babylon. And so he was a captive. And so God gives him visions. And God gives him visions. Ezekiel is a unique character. I'm telling you, you got to read the book of Ezekiel multiple times to understand. But God gives Ezekiel visions. It's sort of like, what's these games where you have to act something out and somebody else has to guess? Like charades, yeah. He has like charades. God gives him these sort of charades of this is why you're in captivity. This is why the temple got destroyed. This is why I extracted you out of Jerusalem. He would lay down on his side for multiple weeks just on one side. He would have pictures of a pictogram of soldiers besieging the temple. And so it's bizarre, but God was, he would have placards and have things posted on the placards. And it would be a great book to go through someday in the future, but to understand all about Ezekiel. And God gave these visions and these requirements for Ezekiel to tell the Israelites that you're going into captivity. You're going to be restored, but you're going into captivity. And what's nice about the end of the book of Ezekiel, it paints a picture of restoration, but it also paints a picture of the kingdom, the coming kingdom age. So chapter 9 of Ezekiel, you have here in verse 3, Exodus, you have the tabernacle being filled with the cloud. The tabernacle was completed. God is descending upon the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, filling it with the cloud of God. By day, a fire by night, the Shekinah glory. Ezekiel is a picture of the Shekinah glory leaving because of the sins of Israel. And so you see verse 3, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, okay, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. What does that mean? Remember, I told you there was a Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the mercy seat was on the platform, the top part of the Ark of the Covenant. You had the cherubims. The Holy Spirit dwelled, the glory of God dwelled in that room. That was the room that only the high priest could go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And what that's saying is, God removed himself off the throne and was at the door of the temple. Means he was exiting. He was going from the Holy of Holies and he was starting to exit there in verse 3, because he went to the threshold of the house, the house being the house of God, God's temple. Then you see in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 18. Again, this is visions. God is giving these visions to Ezekiel. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. Means God ascended into the air over the temple. Okay, he left the temple. Now he's departing up into the air. And the sad case is right here in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 23. It says, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. So most likely that's the Mount of Olivet, Mount of Olives. And you've heard the Olivet Discourse, but it was on Mount of Olives. That means God left Jerusalem completely. And so that's a picture of the departing of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God. And so that's a picture of us. We got to be careful of the departing of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And then you go to Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43, and the whole, from 40 to the end, I believe 44 is the last chapter. No, it goes further in Ezekiel. That talks all about the kingdom age. But 43, verse 2, it says, and behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a voice of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And verse 5, so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. The Holy Spirit doesn't come back to the temple that Israel built before Jesus came the first time. Jesus, when he came, he was the glory of the Lord, and he walked into his Father's house. And he said, my house is a house of prayer, not a den of vipers. You're a den of thieves. And he kicked the money changers out. But the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory did not come back to that temple. The Shekinah glory will not come back to the temple that's going to be built here just before the tribulation period. The Shekinah glory is going to come back. Only the glory of the Lord is going to come back when the Lord comes back the second time and fills the temple. There will be a temple in the millennial kingdom. It will be memorial. It'll be a picture of what Christ did. I can't tell you for sure if they're going to be sacrificing lambs or not. I don't think so, but I think it's going to be memorial. It's not going to have the blood sacrifice because of the blood of Christ. But there's still going to be a temple in the coming millennial age. So it's a picture and it's a warning to us that we need to be careful about the lack of the Holy Spirit within ourselves individually and collectively within the church and collectively within a nation. I've mentioned this before. This nation was not built upon the intellect of our colonial fathers. It was built because the Holy Spirit was in the church and the Spirit of God enlightened the men to the truth of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty disappears when the Spirit of God disappears. And what do we see taking place within our own country to this day? Big mess. Big mess. Anarchy. Anarchism. It's just every man for himself. Every man do that which is right in his own eyes. Even the churches just do that which is right in his own eyes. I mean, the Great Awakening, the great movement of the Holy Spirit, the great movement of salvation, the great movement of holiness before the formulation of this great country, it was because of God, because of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that enlightened men to think about liberty and understand liberty and to form a nation. I mean, even Benjamin Franklin, who was really a deist, when they were coming up and they were arguing about the Constitution, he's the one who suggested, how about if we have prayer before we come together and work on this Constitution? If God can, he said, if God is aware of a sparrow falling to the ground, do you not think that God is aware of a nation coming into existence? That was Benjamin Franklin. And he really did not believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was a deist. But he said it would be wise if we stop bickering amongst ourselves and get to prayer. And that's what, it was God that brought the Constitution. God brought the issue of liberty together for this Constitution. And so with the elimination in Ezekiel, with the elimination of the Holy Spirit, we just go further and further into bondage and totalitarianism, into dictatorship, into bondage by cruel, unprecedented leaders.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.